a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Well, thank you for joining us, everyone. Yeah, we're about to see the world in a whole new light and in a whole new way. This is kind of it's something that I've wanted to do actually for well over a year, and there was plenty of prodding and coaxing and encouragement, pleading, and we should have made a show out of this. But we've got an excellent ultimate treat here as far as radio goes. We are going to have Dr. Jason Q. Rand join us tonight, and hopefully he will become a regular on the show. He's, in case you don't know, Dr. Rand and I used to do a show together that actually became the third most listened to show on this planet within our genre and time slot. We had Dark Matters, we were in third. Dark Matters was ahead of us, and ahead of Dark Matters was Clive Lewis, Ground Zero. Number three behind Clive Lewis, think about that. Or number two behind Clive Lewis. We had a fantastic audience, and we'd like to build that back up again. We'll have to see how things work out, and may the cosmic forces all be with us, because we'll be talking about that as we get into this. But we got to introduce Dr. Rand, and in honor of his heritage, Riscullo, hit the music.
I went to the doctor and I was petrified. He said I gotta change my diet because my sugar's too high. He told me no more pasta bread and no more sweets and no more wine. But this guy must be out of his mind. I said, Doc, I love sweets. That's why I give myself insulin to control my diabetes. Now you telling me no more pasta and wine, no more sweets and no more bread. Why don't you just grab a shotgun and put it to my head? I say, stop, I can't take no more. You tell me one more time what I can't eat, I'm gonna pass out on the floor. I just don't wanna enjoy the last years of my life. And if I cannot drink a wine, how am I gonna put up with my wife? I say, I can't survive. My grandfather eat like this all the time. When he died, he was 105. I got one life to live. No more pasta, God forbid. I can't survive. I can't survive. Hey.
And with that, I want to welcome Dr. Jason Q. Rand to the Revelation Show. Dr. Rand?
Uh-oh. Hello there.
There we go. There we go. I knew he was there somewhere.
I'm back.
Well, it is absolutely. That's great.
We lost my echo. Isn't that great?
Amazing. Absolutely. Yeah.
So maybe it's going to be a perfect show.
Hey, one can only live in hope. So, Doc, did you enjoy your intro song? It's kind of an interesting song.
Absolutely great. I have to tell you a quick story, right? I mean, it's just you and me. Okay, full disclosure. Wait, full disclosure, right? We have never pre-rehearsed the show. We've discussed ideas, but we have never we don't work from a script, number one. Whatever ideas come as we go, we use constantly. So the show is always fresh, and we have no editors and no influencers. It's just me and Peter.
Pretty much. Discussing the situations in which we live in today.
And they are very complex.
Extremely.
Extremely. And when you and I go at it, it's like two intense stars trying to figure out why the other one shines as brightly as it does. Because I have great respect for you.
As I do for you, sir.
I appreciate that. Okay, now look, here's the deal. We both come from the opposite sides of good and dark versus light and good.
Can I clarify that?
Yeah, ETUT experiences. Go ahead.
Yes. Dr. Rand and I, what gives us such a uniqueness is that when we are together, we examine the same coin from opposite sides. It's a coin, but it's my perception of my side of that coin, and he gives his perception of his side of that coin, and sometimes I don't agree with him. Sometimes he doesn't agree with me, but hey, we agree it's the same coin.
In any event, we enlighten.
Yes.
Oh, we try to.
We push the boundaries constantly. Always. You know, always. Your ET, let's say contact, and you have to go back to, you know, when is contact first made?
Should I confess first?
Well, sure. And because Dr. Rand and I both had contact. And it's
physical, live, mental,
in person.
Yeah. Live. The word is live.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
And how about innocent?
Yes.
For both of us.
Yes.
For different reasons.
Yes.
Okay. So look, I'll go first.
Absolutely.
All right. 12 years old. Precocious kid. I'm a Taurus. I live every day like it's the last day I can possibly live. And if I can milk a cow, I'll milk a cow. All right. So I'm up on a fly-in fishing trip with my dad and my younger brother, Wayne. And we're about 224 miles southeast of Lake Winnipeg, out on an island in the middle of a huge post-glacier lake. Okay. So big, you could barely see across it. And I got caught out in a storm on that lake because I did some stupid things as a kid. Got myself caught in the eye of a ferocious hurricane type land storm. I took the boat out during its eye. You know what I mean by that, Peter?
Absolutely, like, do. I've had like a similar situation going on.
Yeah, like in a hurricane. You can walk out in the eye and you would not have any idea at all that 200-300 yards beyond, the earth was twirling out of control. So anyway, I got caught out in the lake. The boat was sinking. I started having telemetric, what they call telemetrics. I was getting telepathic messages coming at me about, don't worry, we're here to save you. Everything's going to be fine. And they did, and they came, and they sent a device called a KBOC, which took my little rowboat, took me through the storm, saved me, brought me to a secret cove that they had created for the landing of their ship. A large silvery type saucer craft from the 50s. And the name of the ship was called the Archimique. ARCUMIC, the Archumic. The letter and phrase A is used a lot. My space friend's name is Elon, A-L-L-O-N, Elon. And then there was Arbery. I can go on and on with these names. So I'm on the ship. The ship lands in a pre-prepared meadow. I'm on the ship for about 4.5-5 hours. Great, fabulous things happen. Things I saw. I've recorded all of it in my new book that's out, Peter. It's called Reality Engineers. Can I sneak a commercial in real quick?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the book is now out. It's 368 pages of absolutely page-turning ETUT mystery, drama, adventure, and romance. Okay. And I tell the complete story, starting with the trip up to Canada, me being in the boat, being on the ship, and all the conversations with Elon and the crew. I made a record of that 4.5-hour visit. I've written it into a book called Reality Engineers, and that's what they call themselves. They are ultra-terrestrial and spiritually clothed entities who are about 245,000 years in advance of human evolution on this planet. They're 250,000 years older than we are, genetically and by birth. So they are very highly advanced. But nevertheless, they have assumed a very humanoid, humanesque form, physical form, and they are just like us, except they look slightly Malaysian. They're not very tall, except some of them are. There were 2 7-footers on that ship. One was a woman and one was a man, and they come from a different planet. Although they were not related, they both serve different functions on the ship, I go into all of that in the book. So my experience was positive. They healed me. They told me about my future. They told me about a series of books that I would be writing, and I've completed all but one of those books, and I'm working hard to get it done. I've got all 6 books ready to publish, but The Reality Engineers is my forward book, and so it's ready. And we'll tell everybody how they can get a copy or talk to me about it. Or, I don't know, can we take phone calls tonight? Do we have that production availability to take some calls?
Unable to take calls, Dr. N.
Okay, just thought I'd ask. Okay, so my experience was good, positive, spiritual, potentially successful. And I'm the product of it, and I'm known as being a contactee in this modern day world of UFOs and UAPs, disclosure, which is about to descend upon us, and all of the things, and all of the mysteries, and all of the TV shows, and all of the books, and all the movies, E.T. and all the movies, thank God for Spielberg, it's all coming to pass. Because it's all being done in the spirit of the holy living God, who is the creator of the creation. So that's my report, and I won't waver from it, and I wouldn't change a thing. So that's my testimony on my event horizon adventure with ETs known as the Fourth Racers from the planet Epsilon, the fifth planet in an Arcturus star group. They come a long way. They don't travel through space or time. They travel through a timeline that bends time. They can go in and out of it in any event they want. It's like picking out records on a jukebox. You want to go to August 15th, 1950. Bam, and you're there. So that was my experience, and I'm happy to be talking about it tonight with everybody, and to be thankful, Peter, that you and I are back on the air again. I just hope we can continue to entertain and keep the questions and the answers rolling. Peter, thank you for a great, great introduction.
Hey, I'm glad you appreciate that, and it's a pleasure to have you back. And, you know, you bring a lot of wisdom to the table. You've been in a lot of different situations. You're like the grandfather without being the grandfather. You're like the great uncle who's got plenty of war stories.
Oh yeah, I got a couple.
Yep. You know, when the experience that I had when I was first, quote, what I initially believed was contact, but I'm going to digress. I had contact at the age of 9, and that contact was through a dream that I had had, where about 10 days later I lived that dream exactly as I dreamt it. And I ran home and told my mother about it, and she said, "Oh, that's nice, honey. It's time for you to go to bed." It was my job to walk the dog at night, and I usually left about 9 o'clock and came home somewhere about a quarter after. Only this trip was different, and when the main characters of this dream came past me, they were the exact, it was the exact spot, the exact area. The only thing that was different between my dream and the reality is I was on the other side of the road. And when that happened, the dog that we had was a German Shepherd trained in Germany, attack on command, and a big baby, gentle that is, and very protective. And I told him that these were bad men, and we both watched these guys. When they disappeared into the darkness, I beat feet home, come running up the stairs. My mom was washing dishes, and I said, Ma, I just had a dream that came true. And she said, "Oh, that's nice, honey. It's time for you to go to bed." What? And that set me on a completely different path, because I had to know. I already knew by the time I was 5 years old, I had a good, I conceived what the Bible was from Genesis to Revelation. Hello. I had a comprehension for what was written in the scriptures. And by the time I was 9 years old, I knew well about the story of Samuel. And I was like, "But I'm just a kid." I was like, "Well, Samuel is only 8. I was like, "Okay." And I started growing up with the test tube in one hand and the Bible in the other. But the contact goes generationally back to the Reformation. But where I ran into my contact with the UAPs, and whatever they are, extraterrestrials, I think if I had to classify them, I'd classify them as homocompensis. Because I wasn't taken off planet. I was taken underground. It was like I was in the bowels of an old castle. Except it was extremely modern. The skies, the ceilings were the lights. Like, isn't this interesting? And when I started to suspect who I was actually dealing with, they realized that they couldn't pull the wool over my eyes, and they told me they were going to kill me. Interestingly enough, I was head over heels in love. I was 18. This was shortly after my 18th birthday. I had a high school sweetheart, and her parents were. I was like the son her parents never had, and we had a, you know, it was a very good relationship, even family wise. I later found out that the father, and I always thought it was curious that her father was 17 years younger than her mother. But I later found out, years later, there's a whole nother, there's a B-side to this story. Her father was a high-ranking Freemason, and her mother was high-ranking in the Eastern Star. And they controlled forces that are beyond what we can comprehend for the most part, because it was while dating their daughter I had contact, and they couldn't convince me of who they were. And because they, I wouldn't fall for the deception, they told me that they were going to kill me. And so I've been dodging bullets most of my life. So while Dr. Rand had a very positive contact with his people, I had very positive contact with the we'll call it whatever spiritual guides I've had. Sometimes I've frustrated them. And somebody told me, well, it's an American woman in Thailand that was studying Thai Buddhism. And she had a vision one day, and as she was cleaning her temple, and she said, it was me, and I was surrounded by four angels. And the first one made itself invisible, so she could clearly see that it was me that they were protecting. And I thought, really? Four angels? Huh? I'm pretty well protected. I was like, oh, hell. It takes four angels to protect me? And I believe I got to see one of them in action save both my life and my son's life on one occasion. That's totally another story. So the point of what I've come to experience is that we are in a battle, and this is one thing Dr. Rand and I can agree with. We are in a battle of good versus evil. Dr. Rand.
Amen, brother. Amen. I guess what we have to understand is that we are very fortunate to be living at this very moment in time in terms of the great universal game plan and all the people that are in it. You and I are helping to create a change of reality and thinking of people. So we could be considered having newly wed the concept of both spirituality and science and fact and reality together into our stories. Reality is not what we think it is, Peter.
It depends on our concept.
It's basically an illusion of what we project as what we think we see. What we experience. Now, I'm not saying we don't, but there are several levels of consciousness.
And yes, indeed.
And we are only working at like the second or third level. If we are at that.
Yeah, let me just explain this just for a minute, Doc. It has to do with the cycles of our brain. And which conscious level that we are in, the science behind this. And if you're in a really overly reactive state, have you ever been in a car accident? All of a sudden, time seems to have slowed down, You can remember every detail.
I do. Don't ask me which one.
Yeah. You're well above being in the beta mode. You're in gamma, I believe it is. Yeah, you're in gamma. Your brain is processing at such a speed, and you're conscious of how fast your brain is processing that. And that's why it seems slow.
When I suddenly realized that I was about to get hit broadside by a car traveling 70, 75 miles an hour, the woman who was stinky pinky drunk passed out over the wheel of her car, and as she did so, she sounded its horn. And that's what alerted me to look to the left just as the car impacted my car. She demolished She hit me a total of 7.5 times. She'd hit me, I'd spin, she'd hit me again. We were both spinning out in the middle of a 5-lane across empty highway full of slushy snow. And the last time she, wait, this is great.
Yeah.
And only the Lord could have orchestrated this one. I'm getting pummeled left and right. And back then there were no seatbelts, you know.
What car were you driving?
1971 Chevy. And it was a very, very, very special car, the Montclair.
Decent sized car too. Not the big Impala, but yes.
Right. Anyway. As soon as I heard what's happening is it's like 6:30 in the morning and it's just beginning to get light. It's like the first faint rays. I'm flying close behind this school bus who had a snowplow on it, because I was trying to get to work downtown. So I was probably doing 30, 35, trying to stay up with this bus, plowing a perfect track. You know what I'm saying, Peter? All I had to do was follow the truck, and it was clear sailing.
Yeah, I've been in those kind of storms.
Well, it's the aftermath of the storm. I was in the path of his creating a pathway through the snow with his snowplow, and to the left, I detect this big black object hurtling at me, and wham, she hits me. She hits me in the left quarter panel, rear quarter panel, and starts banging me left and right. She spinned me to the right, her car would spin to the left, we'd hit again. It went on and on and on and on until the last time, and I'll end my story, the last time she hit me was once again in the center post of my car with the front of her car. I don't know how she did it. She knocked me dead center into the only opening where there was a fire plug, and there was nothing on 10 foot in front or 10 foot in back. And my Montclair slammed against the curb and both tires blew, and she slumped over to the right, and the car finally came to a halt. And I sat there for at least 10, 15, 30, 35 seconds trying to figure out what in the hell just happened. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, and, you know, tell me you didn't have a guardian angel watching over you, or maybe it was Elon.
Could be.
I
hadn't thought about that. You just triggered a whole series of memory events. I'm sitting here telling you that I can remember that event as if it just happened last night. You never forget stuff like that.
Absolutely. And the uniqueness is that in the majority of your, as far as I know, in all of your contact events, they've all been positive. Where I just keep on having my bacon yanked out of the fire, you know.
Well, careful what you dream about.
And that's interesting. Getting back to the consciousness, the levels of consciousness, when we're not acting in gamma, when all that stuff isn't going on, typically, if you're driving, you got to be in beta, because especially in traffic, if you're not in beta, then you cannot react to any of what is happening in front of you. You don't want to be driving in traffic and being an alpha. Although, alpha, alpha, yeah, it's like empty roads. I've gone into a good alpha state, and you know, it's like conscious daydreaming because nobody else is there, and I'm thinking about other things. But here's where it changes. And you have to actually learn to meditate and learn to slow the speed of your mind down. The speed of your brain is basically what it is, and there's a reason for this. As you slow the speed of your brain down, you become more consciously aware. And when we typically, when we enter the state of theta, we are vibrating at what the Earth normally vibrates at. Mm-hmm. And once you go into a state of theta, whatever your, the laws of the third dimension no longer apply. And you could go anywhere, do anything that you wish to do. Consciously speaking in the state of theta, delta, when you're, as you get down, this actually happens more when you get down into the lower delta, I mean the lower radio. Theta going into delta.
I'll call you
delta is basically you made contact with the white light in Delta.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. At least that's my experience. You are dealing with pure energy.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I get down, it's never failed. I get down into Delta and I link into that energy. It blows me right out of Delta.
Mm-hmm.
So those are different levels of consciousness. But in theta, we could actually consciously travel to any point in time, forward or back, and with proper knowledge or comprehension of what we are looking for, we can see either past or future events.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see a future event, Doc?
Mm-hmm.
So have I. And I've seen them. I went into a state of alpha on the way to a friend's party, and I saw some on the road that I was going to be on next. I saw somebody hit black ice and hit bounce off the guardrail, hit me head on. I was like, I think I'll take the shortcut. It was just a bad night to be out to begin with. It had black ice. Got to the party's destination, no issues. Went inside, and the hostess was just getting off the phone. She goes, "You're not going to believe this. Some people just left the party not 5 minutes ago, and they hit black ice out on 01, bounced off the guardrail, and totaled their car out on the other side of the road." Exactly. I saw the damage a day or two later. Exactly what I had seen taking place had I not changed my route. Nope, you got the puppy awake. Sorry about that.
Hey, Jax.
But I got to see the future, and I was able to avoid what could have been a life-changing incident.
Of course.
You know, so and so did somebody show me something? Did I just tune into something? Something that actually probably would have saved me a lot of time and trouble, but it could have saved my life too.
Well, let me take this to another level.
Go ahead.
How about if I start sharing with you some of the most unbelievable metaphysical events that have happened to me? For instance, I swam with an 18-foot hammerhead shark for about 35, 40 minutes. We danced around an enclosure of water, and we spoke just like you and I are speaking. We had a conversation about why I was there. Actually, I was there as part of a dive team. We were not licensed. We stumbled upon these wrecks. We were doing it without the permission of the Bahamian government. And this 18-foot hammerhead proceeds to tell me that we better pack up our gear and giddy up and go. This is truth, so help me, Lord. He said, "You're in danger. Pack up and leave now." And then he sharks don't go backward. This one did. He swam backward as if to push himself away. And he turned and he swam away. And I never had another thought or impulse from him until he just disappeared into the crystal blue of the water. It was 30 foot deep there. And you could swear you could put your hand out and touch the bottom. It was such an illusion, like a 3D illusion of reality. But that was just one experience. Then I had an experience where the same dive site, what I was doing was, I was hired by two very famous authors, Charles Berlitz of the School of Languages and Dr. Jason M. Valentine, both brilliant men and both of them double PhDs. Anyway, they were writing a book called The Bermuda Triangle, and I was part of the dive teams that were investigating some of the wrecks that they talked about in their book. So I go back to helping create this book that was being written, although I had no idea I'd be one of the characters in the book, which was okay because it was great experience and great drama. Anyway, I'm swimming, hired to swim the perimeter. It's 75 yards across and 150 yards long. A rectangle, 75 by 150. And my job was to swim from perimeter cap, in other words, to the right-hand corner, and then the right-hand corner, left-hand corner to the right-hand corner, and the right-hand corner down to the left, said, all day long, looking for sharks and other large predators that could migrate into the field of where the divers were diving. Very often, sharks would just wander into the scene of what they were doing. There were multitudes of different kinds of sharks out on the reef. See, we were out on the reef, and they feed on the reefs. Anyway, I'm swimming perimeter. This is about a month and a half after the event with the 18-foot hammer hit. I'm back to my swimming. This one's going to get you, Pete. I'm swimming the perimeter, and I get a flashback. I mean, I'm looking underwater, and suddenly I see down below me this huge barracuda, the biggest barracuda I had ever seen in my life, swimming up from the bottom right up towards me. Big. I mean, 8, 9, 10 feet. The girth that you could put your arms around it, and it had a mouth full of teeth. And as soon as that, he got within about 8 to 10 feet of me, and he just hovered in the water, and suddenly behind him, so help me good Lord, there had to be 100 stacked barracudas, all of them with their mouths open, about ready, that could have devoured me in about 1/10 of a 15th of a second. And I proceeded to have a conversation with this gigantic barracuda that was addressing me in my thought patterns. So I've had some experiences that might be considered paranormal, but they all had meaning and they all had purpose. And that's what this show is all about. We kind of tell the truth. We kind of tell the truth, don't we?
Yeah. And, you know, Doc, that, you know, that might sound crazy to somebody, but go back to Genesis, Adam could communicate with the animals. Mm-hmm. We communicate with animals every day.
Well, if you have a loving relationship with your pet, you're already in the club.
Yeah. The deer around here are a little bit difficult to tame, but when I lived in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. I tamed a mama doe, her fawn from the year before, which was now had her own fawns, and she had two, and mama doe had one, and mama doe would come looking for me. She knew exactly what it was. I could pet her. I could pet her daughter, but I could hug mama doe. She actually come up on the deck looking in the door. You know, you gonna come out? So, yeah, you know, we can do that. We have dogs and cats, you know, we communicate with them. So, but yeah, we have that ability, and that ability, it's there at a conscious level. And I bring that up again because a lot of people have misunderstanding about raising our consciousness, or it's actually lowering the speed our brain is operating at and going into a state of meditation, because it's through our conscious connection that we become a hive mind. We already are. They're using AI to make us a hive mind. No. We already are. We have that capability of literally, when we are in the state of theta, we can know each other's memories and thoughts, not see them, know them. And that happens with all of us around the planet. When you're in the state of theta, you're dreaming, you're going somewhere. Hey, check this out. You know, in theta, the first time I was in theta, I was hovering over a city in Spain. Isn't that interesting? See the cars running down the streets. Mm-hmm. We have that capability. I put myself in the crowd of the time of Jesus' impalement. And I could, you know, I wasn't on the front row, but I could picture myself there and actually see that event. Prefer not to look at it. We have these capabilities, which actually some people might say, well, I was reincarnated. I've got that memory. You experienced it in theta, and that's where that memory resides. Whether you actually lived that life before or not, it's another question. But one thing is for sure, and that is we are living at the most critical time in cosmic history. Mm-hmm. Since you got to go back to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's now coming up to a cosmic event, which is going to be changing the literal governance of this planet. And there's no stopping it.
Hey, we're there's going no off the deep it. End early. Oh, here we go.
That's okay.
Oh,
that's okay.
My God.
Hey.
I hope the phones. Work.
We don't have phones.
I know.
But that's where it comes down to, and that's where your knowledge about what we're dealing with on the extraterrestrial side, and my knowledge in what we're dealing with, scripturally speaking, backing it up with science and looking at life experience, and seeing okay, well. We know particularly with this one organization, they're led by a guy named Albert Pike, who was a Satanist. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Wait, what? Yeah. And so who's ruling the planet? Who's ruling the planet right now? Tell me we don't need a planetary change of governance. Mm-hmm. King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
Mm-hmm.
Armies of the heavens.
Heavens. Yes.
Armies, plural.
Let's put it this way, Peter. Let's stop for a second. Deep breath, okay?
Go for it, Doc.
No, it's real simple. Knowing what you know and being as aware as you are and having your knowledge of good, bad, and evil and scripture and revelation, I'm sure you've made the decision to be on the side that wins, not the side that loses, right?
Doc, my kingdom's no part of this earth. I've said that hundreds of times.
So all we got to do.
I'm just an ambassador.
Yeah, all we got to do is hang on. That's the whole point. if we're worthy enough to be part of the grand scheme of things, and I think we are, otherwise we wouldn't be doing what we're doing even at these moments in time. I think it's just part of the divine plan. The whole, see, everything that I think is real is not always real or unreal, but it has to do with its position and in which dimension the event takes place, and then for what spiritual purpose. Everything is so complicated, and yet everything connects, and yet everything connects to everything else. It's like, come on, kid, it's not my first rodeo. You know?
Well, you know, the interesting thing, everything is generational. And even with the nation of Israel, it's very possible that those people who have made the leadership of the government that is Iran, that they actually may be genetically related back to the Amalekites who attacked the nation of Israel after they left Egypt.
So nothing's really new or unreal. It's all about the same.
Yeah. And
like, it's not the first time the Jews have been put upon.
And by the same people.
Over and over and over.
Yeah, it happened. It's happened three times.
It's like a bad comic book.
Yeah, King Saul was the first king of Israel, was told to put the Amalekite king to death. They were supposed to destroy everything in the city, man, woman, child. Didn't make any difference. He saved the best as an alleged sacrifice, and he didn't put the king to death. The king evidently was around long enough to father children whose descendants were Haman. Haman in the book of Esther, who's in Persia, and his goal is to put all of the nation of Israel who is in Persia to death. Where's Persia? Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is, when this whole thing started in Iran, it was based on the story of Esther.
Hmm.
There's a the attack in Iran happened about 36 hours before the celebration. I forget the name of the celebration, but it's a celebration that is held by the Jews today. Which is in celebration of Mordecai defeating Haman and his group.
Mm-hmm.
And wait a minute. So this attack that Trump did, or that was first escalated against Iran, starts on the weekend that holiday starts on, to celebrate the freedom of the Jews from these Amalekites.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about multi-level.
That's three, four tiers, five tiers.
Doc, that how many centuries is that?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, and so that's just one example. Go back to what it says in Genesis 3:15: "I will put enmity between you and the woman." The woman's not Eve. It's God's woman, and they're talking about the seed. Who is the? And it goes on and says, "He will bruise you in the head, but you will bruise him in the heel." Now, a snake biting you in the heel is going to be painful, but when you crush a snake's head, that's pretty much going to be fatal, depending on how much you actually bruise that brain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so. There is a prophecy which the right in the beginning, which is now come due.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm going to say this, and I'll give you the floor back. something that I've heard a lot of what I've said over the years be talked about by other people. Great. I raised a conscious level. And I'm talking about people who have a podcast and now talking about things like Armageddon. They don't have a great concept of it. But, hey, they're talking about it. They're aware of it. It's going to be biblical. Yes, it's going to be very biblical. The prophecies will be fulfilled. But, shucks, I just went off track and lost my train of thought. Terrible. It's going to be biblical, and that's why comprehending what's going on now is so important. But it's not going to be the way people have been told or what they expect.
Guess what? Guess what?
What's that, Doc?
It's almost time for the show to end.
We're getting there.
Eight, nine, ten minutes, and that's it.
So, yeah. We got to do a great new introduction, but go ahead.
We're going to do two spots featuring Peter and I. We're going to redo the logo for the show. Peter, tell them what the name of the new show is going to be, please.
We are going to put together a show, and we'll be covering a lot of different topics, which are in Revelation, but we're going to get a little bit more broad-based. The name of the new show will be Revelation, The Cosmic Connection.
Oh! Watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, watch because it. As I said earlier,
we're coming in hot and heavy on this.
Yeah, we are in a cosmic change of history and future coming up. And Doc, I got to say this one thing. I remember what I was going to say. Nobody has said this. Out of me hearing my own words over and over and over again by lots of different podcasters, nobody has said this, and I've been saying it for just over a year. 2029 in the fall is the 2000th year anniversary of when Jesus started his ministry.
Okay. Plot point one. Plot point one.
Right. In 2033, in the spring of the year, Nisan 14. I meant to go look that up earlier when it would actually fall. It's 14 days after the new moon closest to the spring equinox. 14 days is usually the full moon. Okay. But that can land in a pretty broad spectrum from the middle to the middle of March to the beginning of April. Regardless, I'll get the exact date, but that date, Nisan 14, is the Israelite or the Jewish Passover. It's the Hebrew Passover. You know, to clarify things, it's the Hebrew Passover. It's also, and more importantly at this point, because the Mosaic Law was fulfilled 2,000 years ago on that date. Nisan 14, 2033 is the day that Jesus died, and we call the Last Supper was the memorial of his death, and he said, "Keep doing this until I return."
Yes.
If everybody's keeping the memorial, all of Jesus' followers are keeping the memorial on Nisan 14, 2033, how easy would it be to identify him?
Real easy.
Yeah.
Super easy.
And so goes forth the angel of death.
Watch out.
So, you know, we want to prevent that as many times as we can. But it goes back to Israel being released from Egypt under Egyptian bondage. They were told to slaughter a lamb and paint the doorpost. That lamb symbolized the Lamb of God who is not coming back as a lamb right now. He's a warrior king. Mm-hmm. And so that's in the future. Mm-hmm. Keep on doing this in memory of me until I return. What would be the most logical time for him to return?
The anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're going to be exploring a lot of this in the future because our future depends on it. It depends on comprehending what and where we are, looking at the things that are going on. We'll cover a lot of different topics. Trust me, we always have in the past, and we always will in the future.
But we won't disappoint.
And it'll be on planet and off planet.
Yep.
So we look forward to.
And you won't need a membership card either.
We'll take you to galaxies unknown.
Well, we're going to close with the theme song of someone who played a very pivotal point in my life. I used to be a Roy Rogers and Gene Autry freako as a kid. And I got to ride on both Champion, and Trigger. During a live cattle show when I was nine and a half years old. So I'd like to close with a theme song from Roy Rogers and Dale Evans.
We can actually do that. Doc, anything else you want to say to our audience?
Love you. See you next week.
Love and blessings to all, folks. Hey, hit the like button and share this channel with your friends. There's going to be a lot of fantastic topics and information coming out. I always ask that you be with us always on the Trim Radio Network, right here on Revelation, the Cosmic Connection coming up, and every Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Love and blessings, folks. Have a fantastic night.